I want to invite you to turn to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 4. Our text is verses 1 through 20, Mark chapter 4. Just love our studies in the Gospels. They bring us to Jesus Christ each Sunday. And He truly is the center of everything that we are to say and do. Mark chapter 4. I know this is a familiar passage today, but it's always amazing how the Spirit can give us something fresh and new to see. Will you believe that with me? And He began to teach again by the sea, of course, speaking of the Lord Jesus. And such a very great multitude gathered to Him that He got into a boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Remember now, thousands of people were coming out to hear the Lord Jesus. And He was teaching them many things in parables. And was saying to them in His teaching, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And it came about that as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. And other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it didn't have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. And other seed fell among the thorns. And the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And He was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And as soon as He was alone, His followers, along with the 12, began asking Him about the parables. And He was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside get everything in parables, in order that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they return and be forgiven. And He said to them, do you not understand this parable? And how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. And in a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And yet they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things that are in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Well, let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that even these many thousands of years later, we still get to hear what the Lord Jesus taught. Thank you for your truth, Lord. By the anointing now of your Spirit, Father, we ask that we would receive a word from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, with a bit of humor, fear, and trepidation, I'll begin with some self-disclosure. Did you hear what I said? Is a question I have come to realize means, are you listening to me? And yes, it is a question that I frequently identify with the beloved woman who is in this room, my dear wife, who now has my full attention. Of course, in the spirit of transparency, and as some say, men have almost this innate inability to hear more than one conversation at a time. Have you ever heard that said about men? Sometimes I can say to my dear wife, Linda, yes, I did hear you. And then I even repeat back what I heard. And I'm so very thankful. But then again, at other times, the honest answer is no. No, I didn't hear you. And perhaps it's because my mind was preoccupied with something else. Or, and she knows this, at times the volume of her voice just isn't loud enough for me to hear. I particularly find that's true when we travel in the car. This car I'm driving now, the tires I bought for it, they're loud. I can hear the road. If the radio's on, I'm, of course, hearing whatever is playing or whoever's talking. All these things compete with the beautiful volume of my lovely wife's voice. And she knows this. And may I also add, if I'm sitting on top of my Harley-Davidson motorcycle and I have the engine running, most likely I'm not going to hear anyone. And if you try to talk to me, I'll just try to read your lips. It is to say, and I mean this with all sincerity, that I also know at times I also intentionally choose not to listen. But that being said, I'm sure that none of you here today, other than myself here in the pulpit, ever suffer from a breakdown in communication. Is that true? You're all perfect people here this morning? I heard a great skill, by the way, years ago. I was taught this for resolving conflict, and that is that one way to help with communication is to learn how to let one person speak, have the other person remain silent and listen. And for some people, that's very difficult to do. But then once the person's done speaking, to say to the person who is listening, now repeat back what you heard, and then asking that person, is that what you said? It's amazing how that can work in relationships. I want to suggest today that the passage that we've come to, this parable, and I'm looking at it from a little bit of a different angle today, of the seed and the soils, does get at the heart of communication. It reminds me of how in the realm of the Spirit, and by that I mean the Holy Spirit, and in the realm of God's Word, and I mean by that the Holy Bible, when it comes right down to it, we all have a similar need. And that is, we all need to become better hearers and listeners in order to understand what God, through the Spirit and the Bible, is seeking to communicate to us. Let me put it as a personal question. Do I truly get what God is trying to communicate to me by the Spirit and His Word? Or am I at times, without even realizing it, not as well tuned in as well as I should be? Just thinking about, every once in a while, someone will say, tell me they have a problem or something they're trying to resolve. And the first thing I'll ask is, have you prayed about it? Have you dared to ask God wisdom? Do you believe He'll give it to you? That's how we become tuned in. Well, the parable is straightforward, isn't it? It's simple. There's a sower, there's the seed, and there's various types of soils. The sower, of course, is the one who communicates or speaks. The Lord Jesus could be referring to Himself as a preacher. We could apply the same thing to John the Baptist when he preached. We could apply it to His disciples. We could apply it to anyone who communicates to others. The seed is identified for us in verse 14, isn't it? The seed is the word, which is another way of saying the message or the sermon. I'm not the most modern guy. I still refer to what I do as preaching. I don't like the idea of saying that what I do here in the pulpit is a talk or a chat. It just doesn't seem serious enough to me. We've brought ourselves before the Word of God. In verse 11, the message that Jesus was preaching was always focused on this mystery of God's kingdom. It was to say that the kingdom was at hand and the people were called to repent. And now that the Messiah was in front of them, they were to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as the Bible has always taught, salvation has always been of God's grace. It's always been by faith. And so the Lord and others were preaching the message, the word, and they were calling people to come to God, to be cleansed, to be prepared in spirit and by the word, the sanctifying of the word of God, and to believe in Jesus Christ. There are, of course, the soils, the sower, the seed, the soils. The soils, though, you probably have observed, you know this from Sunday school, don't you? They were all quite different. They're not the same. One soil is hard soil. I like to refer to that first soil along the roadside as roadside soil. I was thinking, how would I picture this in my mind? Picture that place alongside of the street pavement out on 72, where the pavement ends, and then you have that rough, crusty edge along the highway. You're not going to plant tomatoes there, are you? Or any other crop. But throw the seed on that soil, and you'll see the birds gather and quickly take it away. Or, like down here on the beach, get out a ham and cheese sandwich and the seagulls will gather, won't they? There's that other soil in verses 5 and 6. It is also difficult for cultivation and it's hard on the farmer's equipment. Why? Because it's rocky soil. I remember some time ago owning a house that had hard clay soil. You put the shovel in the ground and you went no more than 3 inches and you hit clay. You know what the water likes to do when it rains? It sits right on top. It's hard to penetrate. Try planting a tree in that kind of soil. It's difficult. Well, of course, that's the other soil that the Lord mentions here. There's growth, but then it quickly is scorched by the sun. Well, verse 7, there's this other soil, the soil of the thorns. This reminds me of how weeds are always competing for space. In Ireland, when you drive along the road, there are these things we call hedgerows. They're often filled with thorns, prickly plants that crowd out anything else, making it impossible for anything else to grow. As you know, in verse 8, Jesus then talks about the fourth soil, the rich, fertile soil. It reminds me of the beautiful soil that Linda and I saw up in Nova Scotia this last summer. Rich, rich colored soil. Oh, it reminds me, this last soil reminds me, if I might say, us here in New Jersey, of our own Garden State. Of our own soil that is good for growing blueberries, yet in other places is great for growing that nice acidic tomato. Are you looking forward to the first crop of corn come June? Well, you know, the Lord, in verses 10 through 12, in speaking to his followers, he says to them, and here's where we're heading, those who are attuned to the Spirit will get it. They will understand what these parables mean. But Jesus says, but for those who don't have the Spirit, it's going to bounce right off of them. They're not going to get it. And so oftentimes when people come to this passage of the parables, I myself have preached it this way. Often the question is raised, which among these soils represents those people who are saved? But I'd like to adjust the question this morning just a bit and ask, with regard to believers and unbelievers, who is listening? Who is receptive? Did you notice there when Jesus first talks about the roadside soil? What happens? He says, in effect, the birds come and they take it, and he says, it's Satan. He quickly comes and he steals the truth even before it has an opportunity to sink in. Soon enough, the street sweeper heading for hell comes along and gobbles up the seed, and his name is Satan, the adversary. For the unsaved, Satan and his cohorts, I believe this, resort to any means to keep a man or woman or boy or girl from coming to Christ. There's other preachers in the service today. Have you not remembered times when, just when you're getting to the invitation, there's an interruption in the service? Something that distracts everyone's attention away from the message of the gospel. I've seen that happen. I've seen, for example, people sitting in a pew listening to the word of God and coming right up to the point where you invite them to trust in Christ, and then all of a sudden the person next to them begins talking and they're distracted. What's behind that? Satan will use whatever means. Have you ever been in a service where all of a sudden the amplifier stops working or starts cracking, or the microphone sounds so awful, you just think to yourself, I can't wait till he's done. This noise is driving me nuts. I hate high-pitched sounds. I may have difficulty hearing low sound, but high-pitched, I pick it up right off. Have you ever noticed how the enemy of souls would steal the truth? Mark my words. Let me tell you, even if we're Christians, Satan, of course, he may not steal the gospel from us. He may not rob us of our salvation. But I'll tell you what he will do. He will also attempt to rob every opportunity that keeps you from growing in the truth. I've been at war for more than 40 years preaching and teaching God's word. And I'll tell you something, here's my observation. Satan is happy to close anyone's ears to the counsel of God's word because he knows it's the sword that defeats his arrows. Last Wednesday night, we were studying in Romans chapter 6, a fantastic chapter of encouragement. And there Paul says, even consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Don't go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And I turned to a man in our Bible study and I said, could you imagine how many people who struggle with addictions would be helped if they truly believed that passage I just read? But Satan would steal it before it would even sink in. Because the Bible says that once you are owned by Christ, you have been set free. Well, the seed also not only fell along the roadside, but it also fell along the rocky places. And some have looked at this passage, and I think it's a great observation. He says, you know how Satan is at work? Well, something else is at work against us, and it's called our flesh. That part of ourselves that is still not yet sanctified fully by God. That part of ourselves that thankfully we get to leave behind when we go in the Lord's presence. Have you ever noticed how the flesh loves to distort the truth? Have you ever noticed verse 16, some people, they hear the gospel, they appear to receive it with joy. Oh, they're so happy. I've seen this. But it's only temporary. Because as Jesus says, soon as affliction or persecution comes along, you don't ever see them again. Why is that? Because biblical truth confronts us. When I came to this part in the passage, it reminded me that I didn't say this to Pastor Craig. We had gone out to the grocery store to do some things to set up for today. And as we were coming back to the car, way across the parking lot, I saw a man and his wife, a man who was just like one among the rocky places, who at one time in this sanctuary seemed to receive the word with such joy, but then was drawn back into the world. Because the flesh, our flesh loves sin. Our flesh craves for sin. It's the flesh that's killing people. And Jesus instead would tell us, if you want to believe in me, then follow me. By the way, when Jesus invited people to follow him, what did he tell them to carry? Take up your cross and follow me. Because living for God is not only living for God on the mountaintops, and I praise God for those times, may they last a long time, but living for God is also when we walk through the valleys, isn't it, beloved? The truth is, church, it's Bible truth that sets people free from sin. It's Bible truth that confronts our addictions, our struggles. It's Bible truth. But oh, how the world, the thorns, how the world would invite us instead to fornicate with it, if I could just put it that way. Jesus talks about that seed among the thorns, and he says it doesn't have a chance. As soon as it hits the ground, the thorns, the weeds, they're already growing. They choke it out. The world would draw us back. Oh, the worries of the world. The deceitfulness of riches, Jesus says. All these things, they come along, and what do they do to the word? They choke it. And the seed cannot be fruitful. You know, the Bible says that the word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But oh, how our world and our culture is constantly calling people to follow, whereas Jesus Christ calls us in another way. Turn on the light, folks, and what happens? The cockroaches run. Turn on the light of God's word, and what else will happen? It'll expose our sin, which is evil in the sight of God. But I'm glad for that light. Because while that light may expose the ugly part of ourselves, that light also shines brightly and forgives us of our sins and cleanses us to the fullest. What can take away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The world, the flesh, the devil, they're all at war with us, but thanks be to God, there is one way to hear, there is one way to listen, there is one way that allows the word of God to sink in and to sink in deeply, and we all need it. It's not only the unsaved who need the gospel, it's those of us who are born again. We need this word, don't we, folks? And Jesus, of course, speaks of that last soil, that rich, fertile soil that receives the word of God, that last soil that not only hears the word of God, but is open to the Spirit of God, who sits before his word and says, Lord, speak to me. Direct me, Lord, in the right way, in the right path. Father, help me not to be sidetracked or to go off the road. What happens when you're driving and you stop paying attention? you drift. Father, keep us on that road, because when we receive the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God, we will then bear fruit. We will bring forth those summer baskets of fresh nectarines. Jesus is saying here, if you'll receive the Word, you'll be like those summer baskets of ripe Jersey tomatoes. I want to ask you, are you listening to God's Word? As you look at yourself today, which of these four soils would be descriptive of you? Oh, how often and how quickly we can begin to play footsies with the world. How often we can allow the devil to convince us to play fast and loose with sin. Oh, every day our flesh wants to get in there just one more time. But thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, that by your grace, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, how I pray today that those of us in this room would be fertile soil for the Word of God. And for some, it may be for salvation. For others of us, it may be that we would continue to grow in the truth and bear fruitful lives that bring you glory. I thank you, Lord, for the encouragement of your Word. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.